2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And in that scripture are four qualifying things. So if my people who are called by my name will, one, humble themselves, two, pray, three, seek my face, and four, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Friends, we need to humble ourselves. And we need to pray and seek His face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Hallelujah. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah. every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, He is Lord. Jesus Messiah,
I got to tell you, I am just so proud and so honored to be a part of this body where people step up and they're not afraid to get their hands dirty. And yeah, praise the Lord. So thank you once again for standing with me and standing in the gap for me and family as well. Well, I've been really excited about preaching this message today, and we're going to get to all these things here shortly, but you've had to wait this long. It's not going to kill you to wait a little longer. Oh, my goodness. There is, and I'm sure that you've noticed it, and maybe even experienced it, there is a wave of, for lack of a better term, sleepiness, apathy, lethargy. You got this lethargic feeling that has swept over the church. And it has come in waves. And it's nothing new, really. These things have been happening since the beginning of the church. And we can all probably attest to the fact that it has happened at one time or another in our own lives, that for a while we're on fire, we're fired up, we're involved, and we're actively, acting out our faith, right? We're getting our back into our faith. You follow me? Okay? You get your back into your work. You get your back into your living. You get your back into your faith. And there is an indifference, almost, that has swept over the church. And you see, even in our own community, churches closing their doors. Amen. Churches with 10 people in them. Amen. And I could name off probably 3 right now. Churches where the doors are closing and they're becoming auction houses. Okay? That bothers me. That's sad to see. But it's becoming more and more common. Every town we drive through, most of them, you can find one church or another that has closed its doors or is just about there right now. And it really is sad to see. And there has become, and I think it's purposeful, that the enemy has caused us to be so busy that we've got no time for ourselves, or we've got no time for the Lord. Okay? We've got so many things that have filled up our time. And because of this, there is no time for the Lord. There's no time for His people. There's no time for His house. There's no time for His kingdom. And so this fatigue, this fog, if you will, of fatigue. Have you ever, maybe even today was one of those days, I don't know, but you wake up early in the morning hours when it's just, the sun is just beginning to come up, and there is this fog that is over the ground, maybe 3 or 4 feet high. And it's as if it's crept in, this fog of fatigue has crept into our lives. And we don't have space anymore for God. We don't have space in our lives to take on anything else. Okay? How many of you feel like that? All right? It's not wrong to feel that way. It just happens. Okay? But here's the thing. If we allow other things to jam-pack our lives and there's nothing left to give God or his church or his kingdom, who's going to work in his fields, friends?
Come on. That's right.
Who's going to cultivate the master's garden?
That's right.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
The master's garden cultivates souls.
Yes, it does.
And he's really good at it.
Yes, he is.
He cultivates souls into people who are willing to serve him, people who are willing to look after someone else, people who are willing to be a witness to somebody else. In Matthew 28, 18 and 19, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. How do you make disciples? How do you do it? You take time. You take time. All right? You take time and you teach people. You love them, which is like the undergirding qualifying factor of making disciples. You train people how to obey and follow everything that Jesus has commanded. And if we allow our lives to be so filled with other things, they may be good things even, there's no time for God. There's no time for doing our jobs as believers. And so then our faith has, it's lacking something. We have the faith inside.
I got to be careful, right?
We have the faith, but we're lacking wheels. You follow me? We got the faith part of it down, but we're stuck because we got no wheels. Okay? And then what begins to happen is our faith becomes inactive. We have faith in Christ. Yes, we're saved. We're believers in Jesus Christ. But there's no work being done with our hands. You follow? Our hands are not dirty. You see what I'm saying? Believers, we need hands that are dirty with I'm not talking sin dirty. I'm talking about dirt that comes from getting busy in the garden of the master. You follow me? I'll tell you what. I want dirt underneath my fingernails. I want dirt all over my hands because I'm busy about the work of my master. I don't want clean and tidy hands. I want calloused hands. I want calloused hands. I want hands that are beat up a little bit and scratched up, and they're sore from hoeing in the master's garden. I want him to see me working at things that are important to him. Amen. This wave of indifference. I can't do it anymore. Let someone else do it. Let someone else. Someone else will pick up the slack. Somebody will have to come along behind me and do what I refused to do. That does not set well with me. And I hope that it doesn't set well with you.
Amen.
We've become a people of fast food religion. Right? Okay? You follow where I'm going here? I got 10 minutes to where I got to be to such and such a place. So I'm going to go through the drive-thru, get me a Whopper, extra large fry, a pie, and a Diet Coke. Right? And so we go through the drive-thru because we can get our food, bam, 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 like that, and just begin to mow down. And they make it taste and smell so good, doesn't it? Mmm. Fast food. But that's the way we've become with religion, with our faith. We want something. I got about an hour here on a Sunday morning. You got to get in and out of here. I want to do my thing. I want to check that off my list. I want to get it off the reminder list in my phone so that I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm go on to the next thing, taking out the trash. It's become one more thing to do instead of something I can't wait to do. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? There's a difference between cold religion and passionate service. Passionate love for God. Fast food religion, it leaves us sick and fat and way too comfortable. Yeah. How quickly can I get what I need and get out of here and on to the next task? Fast food, religion. We're content then to slide from active service to cheering from the sidelines. We're on the bleachers, friends. And there's a part to be played in the bleachers. But that's not where I want to be. I want to be in the trenches on the field of battle. I want to be on the field of play. Don't put me on the bench, coach. I want to play. I want to be involved. I don't want to sit the sidelines. Do you see the difference? That's not where God wants us to be. God wants us involved. And we fill our lives with more and more and more things. And pretty soon we begin to, you've heard the phrase backsliding. Backsliding don't just happen overnight. Right? And it happens so slowly, in effect, you kind of get desensitized to it, which is a common term in our lives these days. We get desensitized to things. We see them so often, at first it's such a big shock. Oh my gosh, did you see so-and-so? And then pretty soon, we see that same thing over and over, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's just so-and-so. We get desensitized to things. You follow? And pretty soon, we've fallen from a place of active service to where we're really comfortable just sitting in our pew, so to speak, taking up space. Now, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you have to become the prayer warrior that's sitting in the pew. Sometimes your age, sometimes your health, sometimes other things, other factors are things that you can't change. We get that, okay? I was there. I understand that. But you can pray. You can be actively involved by praying. Amen? And there are a handful of you who do that for me specifically, and I can't thank you enough for that. But don't be content to cheer from the sidelines. Pretty soon, it's like, oh, I got too many things going on. I can't get to church today. I can't go to church today. I don't need it. Church, here's the thing. I don't really need church. I'm just kind of going because I know it's the right thing to do. And church really doesn't need me either. Do you see how dangerous it becomes? Do you see how dangerous it becomes? And I don't need the church, and the church doesn't need me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie. And you know, in today's world, there's lots of grace, lots of mercy, lots of love, but there's very little discipline. There's very little discipline. And by that, I mean accountability. Okay? There needs to be accountability. When you say you're going to be someplace at a certain time, honor your word, the things that came out of your mouth, and be there at that time. Because there's people depending on you. Do you follow that? Accountability. If you said, I'm going to teach this class, I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do this or that, You do it. You be there. There's people depending on you. Accountability. If you committed yourself to this group or this team or that team, don't you stay home. There's people depending on you. The body is depending on you. God himself is depending on you. Do you understand that? Do you see how important it is? It's not just you. It's never just you. Do you get that? Right? It's never just me. It's never just all about me. It's about what I'm doing for my master. What has he called me to do? There's less and less discipline or self-sacrifice and even commitment. In some places you'll see that it's overboard and it's right in your face sometimes. Different places you go and it's all about the discipline and there's very little grace. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing what you say. Honoring the words that come out of your mouth. Honoring your position, honoring your commitment to God and to his people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Don't let this happen to you. And I think to a certain extent, we all experience it. But if it does, address it immediately. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah had a vision. And in this vision, it was asked of him, or just asked openly, generally, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The Lord's voice. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responded to that. Can you just see the child in school who knows the answer? Friends, raise your hands if you know the answer. Really, right now. Raise your hands if you know the answer. Okay? Jesus is the answer. And Isaiah is saying, here am I, Lord. I'm right here. Send me. Let me be the one to fulfill your call. Let me be the one that does your bidding. Let me be the one that you say, go, and I'll go. Let me be the guy. Let me be the one that you call and you say, I need you to do this. Many times on Sunday morning, before many of you get here, there are things that need to be done, and there's a handful of people that I'm saying, can you help me with this, please? And I'm sending people off in different directions, and all I need to do is ask. And they're gone, and they're doing what needs to be done. It's the same way with the Lord. God is asking for some people who will carry out his tasks. We used to take cups like this and we'd put a string between them. And we put one up to our ear and then a friend or a brother or sister would be talking into the other end.
Praise the Lord.
And you'd switch, you know. You pretend that you would be on the phone and that you were talking. And that you were calling your friend, your brother, your sister. God is calling. is calling you, and he's calling me, and he's calling us all to the cross. Over and over in our lives, God's call beckons us. And how many times have we just walked right by and never answered the call? How many times in your life has God been calling you? Has God been beckoning to you? Come to me. Come to the cross. Why the cross? What's the big deal about the cross? Why does Jesus call me to the cross? Because at the foot of the cross, friends, is where life begins. When we lay down, control. That's really what it's about. When we lay down control, we relinquish control. And if you've watched TV show Cops, first thing they say, put your hands in the air, freeze, don't move. Well, what do? I give up. I give up control. You're the boss. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. That's what we need to do, right? But if that would happen, there'd be no cops, Joe, so. But that's what our response should be. I give up. I bow down and I give it all to you. And over and over and over, we walk by God's call. Maybe God has been calling you to something. You know, I must have walked by 6 different cups that were kind of in the way today. Sometimes God's call is in the way. It interrupts the place where we're going. And we just brush it off. We push it out of the way. Because it's uncomfortable. It asks something of me. I have a fast food religion. I don't want to be asked anything. All I want is my stuff, and I want to get out of here. And if you're in the way, then get. Move it. I got stuff I got to do. I got more things on my list that I got to check off today. And here it is. How many people walked by the red cups in that video? I'll tell you, I cried the first time I saw that video. The last person, did you see? She had walked by that a couple times. And then finally, the last time she walked by and then she stopped and she turned. And she listened. She listened. She answered. Is God calling you? Is God calling you? Has God been impressing on your heart to follow him? Has he been impressing on your heart? Is there something specific that God is asking you to do? Only you can answer that. I don't know. But chances are, there is. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. In John's revelation, the church is reminded. Revelation chapter 2. It says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. That's pretty harsh. So it is kind of painting the picture that this church was doing really well. And now, after some time has passed, the church has, over time, backslidden, in a sense, right? Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. In this scripture, we see a few different commands, if you will. So first, remember. Remember the height from which you have fallen. And there's three things. Remember, repent, and renew. Okay? So first it says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Secondly, repent. Do you know what repent means? Turn around. Go the opposite way that you're going. Literally. So if we are walking this way, if we repent, we do an about face, and we're heading the other way. And he's saying, remember the place that you used to be. Remember the place of honor. Remember the place of service when you are walking in obedience. Secondly, repent. Turn around. Don't keep going that way. You're heading away from me. Don't go that way. Turn around. And thirdly, renew. Go back and do the things you did first. What you were doing at first, go back. Turn around, go back, and keep doing that stuff. Because when you were doing that stuff, you were on the path that I wanted for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Isn't that, friends, what this is all about? To know him better? This is not a fast food religion. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. A few things are brought out here. First, to give you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. To help you understand the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? That we may know him better. That we may know him better. And that keeps us on a forward motion, doesn't it? We're moving forward. We're learning to know him better. Secondly, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Did you know your heart has eyes? It's really just kind of symbolic, right? But if your eyes, the thing, the very core of your spirit, if you will, the core, the heart, Bible says to guard your heart, right? The very core of who we are, our heart. If our eyes to our heart are closed, we can't see. And so he prays that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened, help to understand that they may be opened. Why? That we know the hope to which he has called us. That we may know the hope that he has called us to. Next, that we may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And last, that we may know the incomparably great power for us who believe. Maybe you have felt God calling you. Maybe God is calling you to be a pastor. I hope he is. Maybe God is calling you to something different. You know, sometimes we don't answer the call because, again, it's going to, God may be asking something of us that we just don't want to answer. And so we walk by the call, ignoring it. And each time we walk by when God is calling and we refuse to answer that call, our conscience and our hearts become seared. Do you know what it means to sear? When I was working at McDonald's years and years ago, talk about fast food, first job I ever had, working at McDonald's here in Medina, and we would have this iron of sorts, and one we would put it on the meat and push on it, and it would cause it to heat up really fast so that the inside of the meat would cook faster. It's called searing. And so we sear that meat to make it cook faster. The same way our hearts and our consciences become seared when we continue to ignore the call of God, or we ignore our conscience and we continue to do what is wrong. The meat, if you will, of our hearts are scarred and they're seared and burned. Sometimes we think that if God is calling, that he's going to ask us to do some grandiose thing. God's going to call me to be a missionary. Whoa! Hey! That's not for me. I ain't no missionary. I'm not going to be eating grasshoppers in Africa. I don't know why I said that. All right? We're fearful because we think God's going to call us to some grandiose thing, or, you know, make me go away, or make me do something uncomfortable, or whatever. Well, that may be the case. But when you think about it, it matters not what is being asked. Only the one that's doing the asking. Let me say that again. It matters not what's being asked. Only the one that's doing the asking. A few years ago, the Lord showed me that. Because I was one that was walking by the call, refusing to answer. God was calling me to be a pastor. And I started out on that road. I began to prepare myself and to train myself, take courses to help me be prepared to do that very thing. But some things happened, and I allowed that to create an anger in me and an indifference where I refused to answer the call of God over and over and over. Over and over. I thought that he was going to make me give up stuff. I thought that he was going to take away the things that I really enjoyed. I thought that he was going to take away music from my life. And so, if you're going to take away music from my life, I'm not going to do what you want. I was spoiled like a little brat. And finally, one day, I was in the shower, and the Lord spoke to me as plain as day. And he said to me, "Why would I take away something from you that I gave to you? Do you have enough faith to believe that you can do both?" And I broke. And I remember sobbing in the shower so loud, my wife came to the door and she's like, "What? What's the matter? What's going on?" But God was working in my heart. God was working in my heart. And I answered the call. And things happened fast once I began to answer that call. Once I picked up the phone. Do you follow? What is God calling you to? Are you hearing? Don't be afraid. Don't allow your fear, like I did, to keep you from answering God's call on your life. Because let me tell you something. And if you get anything out of this message, take this home with you. You're never more blessed than when you're walking in obedience to the call of God on your life. You're never more blessed than when you're walking in obedience to God's call on your life. Maybe God is asking you to teach a class. Maybe God's asking you to teach the children or to work in the nursery. Maybe God's asking you to teach a Sunday school class. We're having a meeting after church tonight or this afternoon when the service ends. Talking about junior church, working with the children. Maybe God is asking you to step out of your comfort zone and start serving someplace. Well, where can I start serving? I heard a friend put it this way. It don't matter where you start. Pick a row and start hoeing. You follow that? In a garden, there's a ton of rows. Well, which one do I hoe? It don't matter. Pick one and start hoeing. You follow? Find a place. God will direct you. God will direct you if he hasn't already. Find a row and start hoeing. I love it. Friends, don't miss the call. Don't walk by it. You know, these cups are in different places throughout the church. Wherever you go, there's cups here. And they're kind of in the way sometimes, and you got to kind of walk around them. And that's kind of the way it is with God sometimes. He interrupts our lives. God interrupted my life really bad. I was working at Pepsi Cola Batavia, had a great route, good paying job. I loved what I was doing. And had he not interrupted my life, I would probably still be there. But God had other things in store for me. And that may be the case for you as well. Would you stand with me this morning? See and hear and experience the call of God. The ball is then in our court, so to speak. And it's up to us. What will we do? What are we going to do when God calls? Are you going to answer that call? Are you going to respond to it? Are you going to walk by it as many people in that video did? They just walked by. They saw it. But they continued to walk by. What will you do? Well, I want to respond to God. How do I do that? How do I do that? How do I respond to God? How do I know if He's calling me? Maybe that's the place you're in. Maybe your heart is in the right place. Maybe you don't know how to respond. When God knows that you're listening and that you are making yourself available to Him, He will reveal to you what it is that He wants for you to do. Okay? But God is always calling us to the cross. God is calling us to the cross. At the cross is life. There is peace. There is love. There's acceptance. And there's joy at the foot of the cross. Is God calling you today? And if so, what will you do? You know, the more that we try to run from what God is asking us to do, the more difficult our lives are. I can attest to that fact, and many of you can as well. Don't run anymore. Don't run away. Submit to Him. Trust Him.